This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
For the strength that I had, for my mom and my dad, so much more I could add. You give and forgive while we get and forget. To the Lord of the worlds, we are always in debt. And how could I forget that you guided me to this deen? And for that, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my prayers, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my prayers, my sacrifice and life for you. I'm feeling good, waking up today. Got to say thanks to Allah for giving me another day, another day. For the breath I breathe, to the trees, back to me. Can't you see? I'm living life in harmony. Got the sun shining down on me perfectly, currently. Feeling the breeze from the sea, and the clouds giving shade to me. Rain for me patiently, growing the food that I eat. And we could never count your blessings. Every second, so many lessons. Got me turning to the heavens. Thanks to He for creating me, shaping me, sustaining me. Praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I gotta thank you for my eyes and my thighs and my toes and my nose and my lips and my smile and my ears and my fears and my mind and my time and my friends and my foes and my trials and my health and my wealth and the love in my life. And the fact that you set me a beautiful wife. For the good and the bad, for the strength that I had, for my mom and my dad, so much more I could add. You give and forgive while we get and forget. To the Lord of the worlds, we are always in debt. And how could I forget that you guided me to this deen? And for that, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I'm blessed, praises to the Rabbil Alameen. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my prayers, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my praise, my sacrifice and life for you. I wanna thank you, I wanna praise you. Give my prayers, my sacrifice and life for you.
I'm feeling good, good waking up today. Got to say thanks to Allah for giving me another day. Another for the breath I breathe, to the trees, back to me. Can't you see? I'm living life in harmony. Got the sun shining down.
All righty, everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome now to day number. Oh, my mic isn't plugged in. Let's make sure we fix that first. Welcome to day number 11 of Institute, and jazakum Allah khair for once again being part of this memorable experience and community. Great to see many of you already online. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah habiba. Tasfia, Sundas from France, Amina from the UK. Beautiful and amazing to have you guys back for today's session. Let me just make sure that we are all set and ready to go. Alhamdulillah. How is everyone doing? Day number 11. Soon enough, I'm going to be announcing the countdown to the midway point of Ramadan. Yes, inshallah, another amazing class ahead. Very much looking forward. Great, Sundas. That's amazing. Raghib, too fast. Every year we say that. Subhanallah. So we bet, what was that? Oh, I lost your message. Where was that? Yeah, amazing. Alhamdulillah. I'm doing well. I'm so excited, especially today, because you guys, mashallah, have the ability. A lot of our speakers and a lot of the people that you've seen so far are instructors in Ramadan 360. You've probably seen them a little bit here and there. You get other programs throughout the year through Al Maghrib and other institutions. The speaker today, Sheikh Daoud Butt, is brand new to many of you. He's not brand new to us. We've, alhamdulillah, had the pleasure of having him online with us for, I think it was Ramadan. This is a test of who is truly an OG. Was Sheikh Daoud in Ramadan 360 year one or year two? That's a hard question. I don't know if anybody is going to get this. Mary, welcome. I'm glad that you're finally able to. Nemo says, I think year two. Suri says, wow, you guys actually remember. I'll be very honest. I don't even know the answer to that. You've seen him through with that. Yes, mashallah. He's done some great work with our partner organizations. Mashallah. I thought it was year. I think it might be two, actually. I think it might be both, actually. Year one and year two, mashallah. Nemo, you've benefited from him as well. That's amazing. I can't wait for you guys to experience his teaching style today, his humor, and his just, there's a lot of speakers that have a hard time giving you the exact taste or using the right descriptive words until after the session, because then you've seen what I mean and it makes a lot more sense then. But look out for Sheikh Daoud. But hopefully we get to see him, wink, wink through some other experiences in the Maghrib world. But inshallah, this is going to be the beginning of many other great things to come. Laiba, happy to see you as well after the Quran. Yes, alhamdulillah, we had our first session of the 10-day Quran challenge earlier today. Alhamdulillah, it was amazing. I feel like I was a little rusty in my recitation when I was following along myself, but alhamdulillah, it was a bit more of an intensive challenge than we had in the past 3 years. So if you have not had a chance to attend today, make sure you mark your calendars for tomorrow at 1 p.m. EST. We're going to continue with our master instructor of the Quran, Imam Wissam Sharif. A shout out to those I see on YouTube as well. Marjana, good morning. It's Fajr time in the Philippines, mashallah. Didi, almost Asr there, mashallah. And it's 1 a.m. I don't know what flag that is. I'm sorry, but great to have you guys joining us as well. So yes, mark your calendars. This is I know it gets very hectic in the middle of Ramadan. Al-Maghrib gets quite busy, mashallah. So make sure that you're keeping up with everything that's happening in the schedule upcoming this weekend. As I've mentioned to you guys in the past, alhamdulillah, we have the OU Who Believe webinar, which you can register for at ramadan360.org/webinar. You do have to RSVP for that. I know our Ramadan 360 folks, you guys are used to just getting the links and all that kind of stuff. For that one, you do have to RSVP. So just make sure that you do so, inshallah, so that you receive that information. It's 11 p.m. in Palestine. Ah, amazing to see you back, Aya. Jazakum Allah khair for joining us. You have been in our du'as. 2:30 a.m. in India. It's the Oman flag. Okay, that makes sense. Jazakallah khair for double checking. 5 a.m. here. Is that Oman or Philippines? Now you guys are testing me. That's not fair. Alhamdulillah, I should know these things. Amina, welcome. Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Oh yes, Raghad, your videos are disabled. Thank you for letting me know. Now the videos have been undisabled, so you guys can join me on screen. I was feeling a little lonely. That's great to hear that you guys are here with us. Alhamdulillah. So we are now jumping into day number 11. Today's topic is trust. Before we get into it, you guys know we got a bunch of reminders. So I've already mentioned the webinar this Saturday. We have Fatwa Night with Sheikh Waleed Bisyuni, inshallah, on Sunday. So all of y'all who have been submitting all your questions and chats, and testing Usadat Amia Zubair's patience, make sure you submit your questions to the Q&A form in your portal under the hand raise icon for the Fatwa Night. And in those Fatwa Nights, we take all fake questions related to Ramadan, as well as other questions that come up for you guys on the topics of the series that we have right now, alhamdulillah. So you're welcome to submit them. We have a lot of questions already in there, inshallah, but we're going to do our best to get through as many as possible. Great to see folks returning and turning on their cameras and joining me on screen. Brother Hassan, 2 for 2 today, mashallah. Sister Suri, Ilham, Carrie, Shukri. See, even you guys probably start remembering names now, mashallah, the consistent folks who are on screen. May Allah reward you all, mashallah. Ahmed, Hajra, Sister Bilkis, alhamdulillah. Where you submit them, where that, we'll share the link in the chat as well. It's in your student portal under the hand raise icon. With that said, I want to thank, as always, our amazing charity partners every single year of Ramadan 360 who make this experience possible for us. This year, of course, we have HHRD in the US, we have Islamic Relief in Canada, and we have Forgotten Women in the UK. As always, please do support these wonderful organizations. We do the easy stuff here, on screen. They do all the tough work on the ground. And I know, especially now more than ever, a lot of charities, they use Ramadan as their majority source of their operational budget throughout the entire year. And they're really reliant on the work that they can be, the work that they can accomplish is really reliant on what we give and how much we support them in Ramadan. So as always, we'll be dropping those links here in the chat. You look out for them. And every time you hear it, just make that intention that, we have alhamdulillah, our daily giving that's been going on that you guys have been, automatically enrolled in, and it's happening for you. But whenever you hear these guys' names, just open it up and make that intention. Okay, I'll give a little bit today, whatever I can, whatever is feasible, inshallah ta'ala. And that said, now it's time to jump into our session for today. Alhamdulillah, I introduced or teased a little bit of our instructor Sheikh Dawood earlier, but just so that for those who are not familiar with him, to give you a bit more background about him, Sheikh Dawood Butt completed his Bachelor of Arts degree in Dawah and Usuluddin from the Islamic University of Medina, and his Master of Arts in Islamic and Other Civilizations from the International Islamic University of Malaysia. He's returned to Canada back in the day, and he used to serve as the Imam and Director of the Community Outreach and Education Islamic Community Center of Milton, as a Muslim chaplain at the Milton District Hospital and the Maplehurst Correctional Complex, which was a prison. And then Sheikh Dawood decided, after spending so much time in the Canadian community and giving back to us and being patient with all of our trials and our tribulations, to ditch us completely this past fall and go to Portugal, subhanAllah, and live out everybody's dream, I think, especially in the COVID years, and relocate his family there. So we've been missing him locally here in the, Greater Toronto Area community, but he's, mashallah, been living it up. So I had the privilege of seeing him earlier in the fall and being like the only staff member, and to be able to brag to everybody that I got a chance to see Sheikh Dawood and his family. But it's been a while since we've had him online, so we're very excited for him to rejoin us for Ramadan 360 year number 4, 30 Quranic principles in 30 days. Welcome back, Sheikh Dawood. But assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you doing today?
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister Hafsa, doing good. Alhamdulillah. How about yourself?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I am well, Sheikh. How is the family's first Ramadan in Portugal this year?
It's good. It's interesting. It's a lot slower than what we're used to in Canada, which is a good thing, because subhanAllah, I was just telling some brothers the other day, every single Ramadan, my health would get so drastically affected by like the overworking throughout Ramadan. And subhanAllah, this year it's like I actually am able to meet all my Ramadan goals. So this is like an awesome Ramadan for me, at least.
MashaAllah, Mabruk. So we suffer, but you benefit, alhamdulillah. I'm glad that, alhamdulillah, it's a slower experience. I think that's the purpose of kind of going down and just slowing down your lifestyle as well. So I'm happy to hear that it's going well for you. And we're missing you here, but inshallah, we get a chance to benefit from you as well online. Alhamdulillah, for the internet, that we still get to have you on our program this year. And we're looking forward to you covering our topic of trust for today, inshallah. So Sheikh, I'm going to pass it to you, and then we'll come back at the end for some questions, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, Sister Hafsa. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyihi al-kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu atamu taslim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yasir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My sisters and my brothers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Trust, sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you, right? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah, we have an interesting topic. Our topic for today is tawakkul. And to start off, when we were living in Malaysia, the name of the hospital that our daughters were born in is Hospital Tawakkul. Like, that's just amazing, alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the ability to gather together, to learn, and you've been doing this every single night, I'm sure, not only here, but in your masajid and in your communities and in multiple places online. Lots of information, lots of knowledge, lots of benefit throughout this month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to increase for us throughout our lives, not just during the month of Ramadan, but throughout the entire year, inshallah ta'ala. I also need to start off by thanking Sister Hafsa for the intro, as well as for handling the, I don't know how she does that, but subhanAllah, she's got lots of experience now. And she's also got the, you know, special microphone. She's got all the, you know, the glitz and glamour and all the digits going on there. So alhamdulillah, that's good. And nice to see that, you know, subhanAllah, she's like really stepped up. Like, she was always good at it, but this year when I logged in, I was like, mashallah, tabarakallah, this sounds like an actual like talk show, radio show kind of thing, which is interesting because I spent a lot of time in radio studios and in TV studios. Me, because I recorded in TV studios, but my brother has actually been in the radio business for the last 25 years almost. So subhanAllah, yeah, that's really interesting to see how well she handles the microphone. Khalas, let's get into tawakkul, inshallah. So when we think of trust, when we think of trust, a lot of the time we tend to, you know, wonder, what kind of trust am I talking about here? If a person is married, they might be thinking of, you know, trust between a spouse. If a person is a child or still living in their parents' house, they're probably thinking, you know, my parents just don't trust me, right? My parents don't trust me. They don't let me go out. They don't want to buy me a phone because I'm, you know, 11 years old and I should have a phone by now. You know, when we think of being a parent, we sometimes consider our children to not trust us because they may have caught us, you know, and this is really important and dangerous for us to do, to say something that is not true or to lie or to not keep our word in front of our children. But today we're going to be looking at trust with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in how much do I trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And really, my brothers and sisters, I want you to take a step back and just pause and think of the day that you were born. In fact, even before you were born, as you were about to come into this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that you would be protected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sure that on that day when you came into this world, someone was going to hold you and someone was going to clothe you and keep you warm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sure that on that day, someone was going to, you know, disconnect or cut the umbilical cord and now allow you to take that first step into nourishing yourself. And so you begin to cry and your mother holds you close and then you drink from her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now providing not only warmth and safety and shelter and security, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us on that day, you know, milk, beautiful milk, alhamdulillah, for us to drink from the best of the things that we can consume in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided the most pure of drinks for us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sure that we were, hopefully, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, you know, bless every single one of us with having a nice home that we came to, and to be raised in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of our deen. And so we came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those moments as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to eventually sit up. And then eventually we stood up while holding on to something. And then eventually we let go. And we were able to keep our balance. We fell a few times, but we kept that balance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to take one step and then another step. And then we began to walk and then we began to run. And now you fast forward from those days all the way to where you are today. Many of you, especially if you're a teenager, young adult, I don't like to consider you youth or children. If you are over the age of like 13, 14, 15, khalas, now you're an adult, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought you to a stage in life where you realize you're now slowly starting to have responsibilities, right? And so you think to yourself, well, wait a second, Fajr is my responsibility. Suhoor and getting up at suhoor is my responsibility. If I don't eat my suhoor, then I won't have that barakah in my day, in the food that I eat. And then I might, you know, struggle a little bit. I might be thirsty. I might be hungry. So you now start to have some responsibilities. Fast forward, if you're someone who's in your 20s or 30s, you are now the type of person who's thinking to yourself, hey, wait a second, you know, maybe I want to take that next step in my life. I've concluded, you know, my studies, I've begun working. I now am earning for myself. I might even have moved out and live in my own place. It's time for me to share my life with someone, and you start considering marriage. And so you think to yourself, okay, I need to get married. But subhanAllah, that moment when you're in your 20s and your 30s, your 40s and your 50s, you realize that you've taken on so many responsibilities that were being looked after for you once upon a time. And so you realize that I am now responsible for my house. I'm responsible for my clothing. I'm responsible for, you know, providing the food that's on my table. I'm responsible for, you know, transportation. I'm responsible for my education. I'm responsible for all the things to do with my deen, and so on and so on. And you tend to forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's responsible for that for you. And so when you leave home early in the morning, what you do now is you tell yourself, alhamdulillah, I'm the man, right? I'm the woman. I gotta go out there. I'm gonna tackle this, you know, task that I have in my day. I'm gonna prove everyone wrong. I'm gonna earn for myself, and I'm gonna show my parents, and I'm gonna show this person, I'm gonna show my spouse, I'm gonna show my children that I'm able to do this. And what we forget again is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that we need to trust in everything. Why am I saying this? One day you wake up, you drag your feet over to the sink, you turn on the water, you make wudu, you go and you stand for Fajr. And as you're praying Salat al-Fajr, you start to feel an itch in your throat, and you start coughing, and then you start sneezing. And you're like, you know what, maybe I'm sneezing because I didn't sleep enough at night. But then you're like, but I went to bed early, and I had over 8 hours of sleep. And you're sneezing uncontrollably. And then you think to yourself, subhanAllah, maybe I'm catching a cold. But it hits you so hard that you don't realize you're now really sick. How are you going to go about your day? You need to go to work. You need to earn. You need to do certain things. But you really didn't trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of everything for you, except that now you realize you have to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your health. And this is where, when it comes to tawakkul, my brothers and sisters, every single day we get up in the morning, we trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow me to wake up first. And this is why before we go to bed, we say our dua, right? We say our dua before going to sleep. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. And you go to bed thinking, Ya Allah, in your name, I'm laying down, allowing you to pull from my soul and trusting that you will return this soul to me so that in the morning, I'm able to get up and go about my day once again. In the morning, I'm able to provide food and shelter and clothing for my children. In the morning, I'm able to look after the household. In the morning, I'm able to recite some Quran. In the morning, I'm able to pray my salah. In the morning, I'm able to still fulfill the things that I was always expecting to fulfill. And that's where, my brothers and sisters, if we don't trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will you take the next step in your day? Like, think of it. If you do not have tawakkul, if you do not have trust in Allah, if I take a sip of water, I might choke on it and die. If I take a step, I might slip, fall, hit my head on the ground and die. If I play a sport, I might get injured and become completely paralyzed and possibly even die. If I get into a car, what guarantee do I have that I will be able to reach my destination without having an issue? And this is where many of us suffer from, and I see it right up on the screen in front of me. It came up right in the nick of time. Anxiety. Many of us have anxiety. And that anxiety is linked to, first of all, of course, we have to say that if you have the need for medical attention, or you have not sought medical attention, then that is something important that you need to do as well. So try to tackle the anxiety that you have by also talking to someone, whether it's a therapist, a doctor, etc. But look within yourself, ask yourself, Do I fully trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single thing that is going on in my life? Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the believers. Verse number 2, Surah Al-Anfal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, he's reminding us, that those of us who are true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Those of us who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our hearts begin to tremble. Now, a lot of people think of this as our hearts will tremble because I'm scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, our hearts tremble in multiple different ways. One of the ways that our hearts tremble is in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. I trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for me. I trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after every single thing that I'm going through in my life. And so that level of tawakkul that we are meant to have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it shakes our hearts, as in it allows us to feel some connection with Allah. You know that moment you come home and you had the most awesome day and something exceptionally amazing happened at the end of that day. So it was an amazing day, and now something absolutely amazing happens right at the end of it. You come home and you just have goosebumps, thinking to yourself, Ya Allah, how is it that you provided all of this to me? Think of it as the day that you went for Hajj. You've never been there before, right? I'm sure some of you have never been there before. In fact, put in the chat if you have or haven't. Yes or no. Have you been there or have you not been there? Whether it's Hajj or Umrah, right? Subhanallah, many, many, many of us have not been for Hajj before. Many of us have not been for Umrah before. The majority of us as Muslims will probably not even get to go for Hajj or Umrah. And that's because the amount of Muslims that are on the face of this earth and the amount of Muslims that are unable to even afford that journey or don't have the health and the strength to go on that journey, subhanallah, they will never get to go. But this year, you are chosen to go for Hajj or Umrah. And you pay the payments, and you pack your bags, and you say your salam to your entire family, and you embark upon the journey, traveling by plane. You land in Jeddah. You now face the struggles of not being able to understand what people are saying to you, and you're scared, you're nervous. You think to yourself, how did I get myself into this mess? How did I get myself over here? I don't have a single guide with me. What am I going to do? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door. Someone comes to you and says, can I help you? And they guide you to where you need to go. And then you end up on a bus or in a taxi, and you end up in Mecca. And then you think to yourself, Allahu Akbar, this is crazy. Look at how many millions of people are here. I can't find my way around. You're looking for your hotel. You start to tear up in your eyes. You sit on the sidewalk somewhere. You don't care how dirty it is. You're like, my ihram is nice and white, or, you know, have these nice clothing on. If you're a sister, your ihram is usually not white, right? So you're sitting on the side of the sidewalk thinking to yourself, how did I make my way all the way here, not to even know where I'm going? You still don't know where your hotel is. And then you find it, and you get up inside, and you put your stuff there. And now the joy and happiness of being outside around the Kaaba clicks in your mind. You're like, wait a second, what am I doing in my hotel? Let me get out of here and go and perform my tawaf. And so you leave your hotel, and you walk over to Masjid al-Haram. You enter. And you walk your way through, keeping your gaze down. This is what we usually encourage people to do, right? Look down, don't look up. We'll tell you when to look up, right? When you're in front of the Kaaba, we'll tell you. And you get near the Kaaba and you look up. And you're like, Allahu Akbar, I'm finally here. Do you remember those goosebumps for those of you who have gone before? Those of you who have never been, you will know what I'm talking about that day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts you to go. Those goosebumps are goosebumps that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making you feel because of the iman that's within you, the trust that is within you that Allah finally made it happen. Allah finally made it happen.
My brothers and sisters, it is only with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that anything in this dunya can happen. And that's why it's so beautiful that we're talking about this topic within the month of Ramadan. How many of us, and I said at the beginning of this, webinar, finally, I'm able to meet and, achieve my Ramadan goals. How many years do we go Ramadan after Ramadan, setting goals for ourselves, intending to meet them, but never actually achieving them? And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your going for Umrah or Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted you to be living in 2024 throughout the month of Ramadan. What are you going to do about it? There are things that you want in your life. Absolutely, every single one of us wants certain things in our lives. But there are things that are more important than this life that we live, and that's the Akhirah. How much do you trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your good deeds? You know, my brothers and sisters, we spend too much of our time claiming that we are from the people of paradise. Right? As believers, we say, Alhamdulillah, we're the people of paradise. We're going to go to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide the non-Muslims. Alhamdulillah, we're safe. And we live our lives thinking that everything is fine. No, everything is not fine. There may be a moment when I pass away, la qaddar Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect every single one of us. But there may be a moment that a person passes away. And just before that, they commit an action or a statement of shirk. They denounce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal'iyadu billah. And that moment would be a moment that would be eternal destruction for that person. So now what I need to do as a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. My brothers and sisters, one of the ways of increasing or having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to increase our knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first step. So I was going to mention these three at the end, inshallah, but step number one to increasing our tawakkul, increasing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to first understand who my creator actually is. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is al-wakil? Who is Al-Ghafoor? Who is Al-Afu? Who is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim? Do I ever stop a moment to try and understand the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Just his names. Like subhanAllah, you are traveling and you come to the airport and they ask you, I need your passport. What do? The first thing they do is they open the passport. Even though we think they're looking at our picture, the first thing they're doing is verifying our name. Have we even verified the name of our creator? Do we even know what his names are? Right? We all worry about what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look like? What is the hand of Allah? What is this? What is that? No. Allah is As-Sami' al-Basir. He's the one who sees and hears. I want to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks like. Slow down. You can't understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks like because you'll never know what he looks like until you get to Jannah. So I need to assure that I get there first. If I don't do that, khalas, then what's the point? I will never, ever be able to understand and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks like. And so my brothers and sisters, I know I was going to shamelessly plug, Sheikh Ammar's session that he's doing on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's already up there. Everyone's already plugging it. MashaAllah, you have like dedicated Al-Maghrib people all over the world, right? Alhamdulillah, it's nice to see the family is like close-knit. Hopefully not so close-knit that like the culture just stays here and our deen stays here. No. We want to embrace the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So subhanAllah, we want to make sure that we are going to take those necessary steps to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like I said, number one way, the first way that we are going to increase our tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or gain more trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that I'm going to try to understand more about who my creator is. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's step one. And linked to that, my brothers and sisters, is the qadr of Allah. You know, when we talk about trust, when something bad happens to us, or lots of bad things continuously happen to us, we tend to have a difficult time trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think, you know what? I tried, I've lost hope in Allah. No, don't lose hope in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put us through hardship. We have to face hardship. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what verse is it? I was reading it earlier today, subhanAllah. And it just skipped my mind, right? It's been a long day. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا Nasrullahi qareeb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us straight, do you think you're going to enter into paradise? Am hasibtum an tadkhulu al-jannah wa lamma ya'tikum mathalu alladhina khalaw min qablikum? And you haven't even been tested like the people of the past have been tested. Who do you think you're going to go to paradise that so easily, right? You think you're just going to walk in there? No, slow down. You might come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now and you're like, Ya Allah, I prayed 5 times a day. Ya Allah, I fasted in Ramadan. Ya Allah, I gave zakah. And Allah says, but you didn't do that for me. You did that because people were watching you. You did that because you were told to do it. You don't even know why you did it. When you were praying, you weren't thinking of me. When you were praying, you didn't even know what you were reciting. You just did the actions. It's all a bunch of fluff. Imagine that day. How terrible we will feel. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us, you think you're going to enter into paradise without ever being tested? Allah also tells us, beginning of surah, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, right? Surah Al-Mulk. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that He created this life. He created the death and the life, as in we came from nothing, now we are something, we think we're some big shot. But subhanAllah, Allah is showing us, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which one of us is going to perfect the deeds that we do? So like I said, step one, understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that nothing in this world can harm us except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing in this world will help and benefit us except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you link this to two things. One, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he tells him, Ya ghulam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, oh little boy, right? Ihfadillaha yahfadhk, ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak. He tells him, oh little boy, oh young boy, remember Allah, Allah will remember you. The Prophet ﷺ says, remember Allah, and you will find Allah everywhere you go. Then when the hadith continues, the Prophet ﷺ says, if the whole world is to get together and try and harm you, no one will be able to harm you except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed for that to happen. And if the whole world gets together to try and provide for you, to try and help you, to try and benefit you, no one in the whole world, and if everyone gets together to try and do that, none will be able to succeed except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it. رُفِعَ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. Right? The pen has been lifted. Everything has been written. What comes to you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had meant for it to come to you. And that's the first thing. So like I said, we're going to link it with what? This hadith and Gaza, what's happening in the world today. SubhanAllah. You look at what's happening in the world and you ask yourself, how is this continuing on up until now? I'll tell you how. Allah wants it to. Simple. Allah wants it to. Now you think, oh, wait a second. Am I meant to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what He's doing to human beings? Whoa, wait a second. Don't say these things. Allah is testing you and I. Allah has already tested them, and subhanAllah, they've proven to us that we're nothing compared to them. These children celebrating, subhanAllah, like climbing up light poles, walking across electrical lines, enjoying themselves, it's Ramadan. And here we are, you know, in the luxury of our homes, thinking to ourselves like, oh, when is governments going to step up? When are these people going to do? Don't have trust in governments. Don't have trust in people. Don't have trust in anything. And I don't bring politics into my lectures. Don't worry, Sister Hafsa, I don't have a heart attack, right? She's like, oh my God, he's going into politics. No, I'm not going into politics. What I'm saying is, only trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Ihfadillaha yahfadhk. Ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak. So number one, my brothers and sisters, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring help. Trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do that. Submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do what you need to do. Don't sit around and criticize other people. Don't sit around and criticize nations. You do what you need to do and encourage one more person to do something too. And encourage that person to encourage one other person to do something too. And you will see, my brothers and sisters, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the time is right, will remove this. But you are from now going to remove yourself from any blame by trusting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control. Number two. How can I gain tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by strengthening our hearts and becoming dependent upon Allah. I don't need you. I need Allah. I don't need the money in my bank account. I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't need a big plate of food in order to get through my day of fasting. I need what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible, a little bit. تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. Right? Just take a little bit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in it. So if I trust that the food is what I need in order to get through my day, I'm failing. Even if the food gets me through the day, I'm not trusting Allah. I've lost hope and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if I wake up and I only have a little bit of time, or I know that I don't want to affect my health by constantly, you know, indulging and putting lots and lots of food within me and saying, you know what, I need this to get through my day. No, have a little bit. And the strongest of Sahaba, the strongest of people, even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had a few dates in the morning and they survived. And so have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will place barakah in your food. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like I said, strengthen our hearts, that we will be dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need Allah. And when you feel that you need Allah, you realize how many times in a day you go and you make dua. How many times in a day you go and you make dua? Not the typical after salah, raise your hands, make dua, the same thing you've been saying every single prayer over and over. No. That every day you come home, you feel like praying two raka'ah and just making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's in sajda. Or you're laying in bed before you go to sleep and you clean your heart and you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the day that He's given to you. Right? These are important things that we need to keep in mind. And lastly, my brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, there's so much that I wrote down for today. I just don't have the time. Lastly, my brothers and sisters, in order to gain tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it that there's three things up there? Hulya, something's wrong. Believe in the Qadr of Allah is part of number one. Okay, so one, two, and now I'm going to mention number three. So number three, to perform beneficial, the beneficial means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. I was trying to figure out how to word this. But really what I want to say is, if you need to eat, don't sit back and go, I trust that Allah will give me nutrition. And you need to pay rent. And you're going to sit back and go, you know what, I'm just going to watch some Netflix today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay my bills. That's not going to happen. So what we need to do, step three, in order to gain tawakkul, is to do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible for me to do in order to survive. I need to eat in order to survive. I need to do exercise in order to be healthy. I need to pray my salah in order to gain, you know, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to, you know, whatever it is that you need to do in your day, right? I need to get dressed in order to cover my awrah. Do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible for us in order to survive. So recap, three things that we can do to increase our tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One, begin knowing Allah, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, strengthen your heart to become dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, do the beneficial acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted for us in order to survive in this world. Tie your camel, then have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. That's number three. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in tawakkul and allow us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, there are so many examples within the Quran. I want you to pull a number of them. And then I was searching and I'm thinking, which of the verses of Allah am I going to use? There's so many. There are, in fact, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, there are more verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions tawakkul than wudu and ghusl. Think of this. When we want to do an act of ibadah, what do? We go and we perform wudu. It is so important for the believer to be clean, so important for the believer to be prepared for ibadah, so important for us to be, you know, ready to come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most beautiful, pure ways. Yet tawakkul is mentioned more in the Quran than wudu and ghusl. Think of this. It's purification of the soul. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to trust Him, to submit to Him, and to strengthen us throughout this month of Ramadan so that we can breeze through the rest of our lives having full conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of our life. Ameen.
Ameen, Ya Rabban Alameen. Jazakum Allah khair, Sheikh Dawood. SubhanAllah, I feel like this is the message that the Ummah really, really needs to hear time and time again right now. I feel like nobody has been left untouched by what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Gaza and Palestine. And that's the one, I think, skill, the one muscle that we really need to build internally, because that's the only way we're going to survive this, all of us collectively, subhanAllah. Jazakum Allah khair for that amazing reminder and for doing all my plugs for me, mashallah, to the Maghrib Hajj that's closing, I think, in 24 hours, inshallah. So for those who were making that dua and wanting to make this year their first year that they go on Hajj, it's maghrib.org/Hajj to register your interest. You mentioned Sheikh Amar's series and a lot of the amazing work, but this community, you're right, is beautiful. Like I just kind of relax nowadays. They're so encouraging. They're so, you know, motivating to each other. And alhamdulillah, it's the beautiful Ramadan
they're
spirit that
job
we
for you.
They quite literally are. I should just retire and I can just let them continue.
But it's like the human version of AI.
I think it takes 440 people, so it's still a bit of a work in process, but alhamdulillah for the encouragement, the motivation, and it's just beautiful to see. Alhamdulillah, Jazakum Allah for being part of it once again. We were debating, by the way, Sheikh, were you part of year one or year two of Ramadan 360, or were you both?
I honestly don't remember. You know, subhanAllah, during Ramadan, we end up doing so many online sessions.
That's very true. It's hard to, especially in COVID years, that was kind of.
So did it kick off during COVID?
Because it did. This community was built because we didn't have access to our shiuch, like even locally, alhamdulillah, during COVID. And we had to do something. And now, mashallah, post-COVID, it's become a source of solace and encouragement and motivation for us globally, alhamdulillah. Jazakum Allah for being part of that and for giving the beautiful talk on the topic of trust. Is there anything that's upcoming that you want to share with us, or you still want to keep things close to the chest until you're ready to announce?
Yeah, I got a couple of things in the pipeline. One of them you kind of hinted to everyone, which we got to work on a few things there, but yeah, subhanAllah. We'll keep it quiet until I'm ready to launch, inshallah.
Okie dokie, inshallah. We'll make it loud once it's when it's ready, inshallah. But it's an honor, alhamdulillah, to have you once again this year, inshallah. We'll continue with our program and give the students a chance to reflect on the topic of trust with our Quran Reflect series. Jazakum Allah for once again joining us for Ramadan 360. May Allah protect you and your family and support you in this journey and continue to use you as benefit for the ummah. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Inshallah, Amen. We'll see you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Sheikh Dawood, but on the topic of trust, of tawakkul Allah. I know many of you commented on his recitation, mashallah, and enjoyed that. For those of you who wanted to get to up your recitation as well, mashallah, do join us for our 10-day Quran challenge every day at 1 p.m. EST and practice your Quranic recitation and your tajweed, inshallah, with Imam Wissam Sharif. Alhamdulillah for this amazing community. Sheikh Dawood said, made so many beautiful points during this lesson. I can't even touch on all of them, but I do want to encourage you guys. A lot of the support that has become possible to build up other communities around the world through the Al-Maghrib family has become possible because of the generous donations of Al-Maghrib students of the past. So please continue to give to the Al-Maghrib Give Daily program. Mashallah, I saw a lot of donations coming through throughout this the last session, and we're at now at 710. So we actually, alhamdulillah, almost hit our goal yesterday. So congratulations to all of you. Jazakumullah khair for being part of that experience, alhamdulillah. And please continue. And if you've already given, please feel free to support one time or to share it with others, inshallah, to be part of that continuous ajr, inshallah ta'ala. As Sheikh Saud was saying earlier as well, we have Sheikh Ammar's YouTube series for those of us who are trying to get closer, trying to memorize and to implement the names of Allah in our du'as and to know our creator. Please make sure you tune in every day at 3 p.m. EST is when the next YouTube series session launches. So you can catch up there. Today's name was Al-Hayy. And hopefully you guys get a chance to benefit from that. And once again, as you're benefiting, please share that with others as well, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Dawood was very generous in his words. Of course, he's mashallah got that TV background, that hosting background. So it's very kind of him to say all the generous things that he did earlier. Alhamdulillah. With that said, I do want to give you guys a chance for yourselves to benefit, for yourselves to reflect. And I hope that you guys have been taking notes. I know there were some questions that I saw a little earlier. Sheikh Dawood, actually, if you're still here, I forgot to kind of take in a couple questions if we're able to before we leave, because there are some great ones that were submitted to me here in the chat before we jump into our reflection session. And I see that you're back here on camera, so I'm going to bring you back onto the screen and we'll just do a couple of questions before we jump in. So those who sent me questions earlier, jazakumullah khair. If you have one or two more in the chat, I'll take them as well. The first question is there something called overtrust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like, is it okay if you trust Allah in everything to the point that it's like even the very simple things you just leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yeah, so that's point number three. Remember, I said you have to do the necessary things in order to benefit yourself in this life. And when a person has over trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they sit back and say Allah's going to take care of everything, right? And so you have to work hard. And you know, I oversimplified the example, but it could be something, you know, I deal with a lot of cases, family counseling and marriage and issues and youth. SubhanAllah, sometimes people have problems within their personal life and they just sit back and say, you know what, inshallah, it'll get solved. No, you got to do something about it. So you need to speak to someone, you need to go to see a therapist, you need to, you know, sit and talk with your spouse or your child. You have to do something. So don't just sit back and do nothing and just have that full tawakkul that Allah is going to take care of everything. That is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And that's why I mentioned point number three, you have to do the work too. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tie the camel, right? Don't just ride your camel, leave it and go. Don't just park your car. Like I know in Toronto, what they're telling people to do right now is just leave the keys in your car and put some cookies and milk in there and people will steal your cars for you, right? Those of you who don't know what's going on in Toronto, you know, do some research on Google. It's kind of interesting. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us is that you take necessary means to secure whatever it is that you need in your life, and then trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well.
Jazakumullah khair. The next question is also a great one, mashallah, that I see here in the chat. And that is, we often feel anxious about possible serious tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might put in our ways. For example, a loss of a loved one, illnesses. It makes me feel like my trust is not 100%. How does one overcome this? Or is it okay to feel some kind of anxiety like that?
Okay, so anxiety, we can also call it sadness, right? Is normal when a person loses a family member or a loved one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced that himself, right? And this is why we have am al-huzn. Like, look at what the hardships were upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lost his wife, the very first believer. Can you imagine? Think of the tawakkul. Think of the trust that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person who reinforced it was his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, right? And then he lost his uncle, Abu Talib, right? So there were challenges that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through, and he felt down, he felt sad. It's okay to feel that, but you need to do certain things to pull yourself out of it, right? And that's why I mentioned certain things to increase your tawakkul. It's one thing to just talk about what tawakkul is and leave you with nothing, But this is why I felt, you know what, how can we increase our tawakkul? It's important for us to talk about this. And that's why, my brothers and sisters, get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will begin to realize, yes, I lost that person, but I will one day be lost too. And someone else will be sad that I'm gone, right? Someone else will be sad that I'm gone, hopefully. And this is where, inshallah, when you do things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't do them for the sake of pleasing people. I always warn everyone, myself first. Never do anything to please people. Always do things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do what you need to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who love Allah and goodness, they will be pleased with what you're doing. And the people who have an issue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will have an issue with what you're doing. It's okay. You don't have to convince everyone of everything. Okay? And when you do that, the angels will hear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my servant so-and-so, I'm pleased with them, so you be pleased with them as well. So Allah tells the angels, be pleased with my servant so-and-so. Those angels will then tell the other angels, and those angels will make their presence around you in this world. So much so that human beings around you, they don't know why, but there's something about you that they just want to come closer to you with. Right? They just want to be in your presence. They like, you know, seeing you. They like, you know, chilling with you. They just like being in your presence. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that person, because that person does what they do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think of it, you know, philosophically, I know it's a little bit crazy. It might be difficult for you to comprehend. Go back and, you know, watch it again, inshallah. But do what you do to please Allah. Allah will tell the angels that he's pleased with you. The angels will tell the other angels. Those angels will be around you. And people around you in this world will just feel a natural, beautiful presence in, you know, when they're around you. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with what you're doing. And inshallah, when you pass away, you won't realize it, but the amount of people that will come to your janazah will be in such large numbers that people will wonder, what is it that you did that was so special? And all you did was please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. Ya Rab, make us of those people. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Sheikh Dawood, once again, inshallah, we look forward to catching you online or in person sometime very soon and inshallah, having you back on another Maghrib experience. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And anybody who benefited, if you're enjoying this so far, especially that last example was mind blowing. Throw in a mind blowing, if you know what that emoji is, in the chat, inshallah, if you were just as Pow as I was during that. And yes, inshallah, we'll have him back hopefully for another Ramadan experience. Carrie, jazakumullah khair. Atika, I see you, alhamdulillah. With all those mind-blown emojis, let's jump into our Quran reflect for today with Usada Taymiyah Zubair. You guys have a lot to reflect on, a lot of powerful examples and anecdotes and gems in Sheikh Dawood's session for day number 11 of Ramadan 360 on the topic of trust and tawakkul in Allah. With that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Usada Taymiyah, how are you doing this fine Thursday?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, I'm well.
Alhamdulillah. How did you enjoy the session, Usada?
I enjoyed it, especially his praise for you, mashallah.
we'll skim over that. You know, I don't do well with compliments. Jazakumullah khair.
Alhamdulillah. All right, I think one of the amazing things is that when you offer the best that you have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases you. Whether it is your wealth or it is your talents, your skills, in any way that you try to serve Allah's religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disappoint you. He will increase you, he will grow you. So our test is to keep our intention sincere and to keep coming forward with ihsan, with the best that we can. And our hope should be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our efforts and continues to use us in the best way for his religion, inshallah.
All right, Usada, we've been doing really well with these Quran reflections, so I'm excited to see what comes out of today's session. But we're all revved, we're ready to go. Let's jump right in. Bismillah.
All right, let's begin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. So there is a kind of trust that we have in Allah Azza wa Jal, which is translated, which is called tawakkul, right? To put our trust in Allah. But then there is another kind of trust that is actually put on us by Allah and by people. And that trust is called amana. All right. So Sheikh Dawood spoke about the first type of trust. And alhamdulillah, we have discussed it earlier in our Quran Reflect session, tawakkul. I want to focus on the other type of trust, which is the trust that is laid on us, which is called amana. All right. And amana is translated as trust, and it's also translated as responsibility. All right. And basically, amana is anything that is secured with a person for safekeeping. All right. Something that is with you, but it actually does not belong to you. All right. It belongs to someone else. And it is given to you purely on the basis of trust. All right. There is no contract in place. There is no, collateral, something that is given as a security deposit to ensure that you return the trust. No, it is given to you purely on the basis of trust. And amana can be a property, right? An object that is given to you for safekeeping until the time of return. Like, for example, in the Quran, we learn that among the people of the book is someone who, inta manhu bidinarin la yuaddihi ilayk, that if you trust him with one dinar, all right, with one gold coin even, he's not going to return it to you. He's not going to give it back to you. And then among them are also those who, if you trust them, meaning if you give them a qintar, a heap of wealth, they're going to give it back to you. All right? Yani they're so trustworthy. In the Quran, we have the example of Musa alayhi salam, who when he took the flock of the two women, right, he had the flock drink water. And then what did he do? He returned the flock to the women, right? He fulfilled the amana. All right. And this is generally what we think about amana or trust, that something that belongs to someone else is with you for a certain amount of time for safekeeping, or you have borrowed it for some purpose. And then when the time comes, you return it to its owner, right? But amana can also be information that is not to be disclosed to other people, all right? Like, for example, someone trusts you with a secret, right? With some personal information, right? Especially, for example, when someone comes to you, they whisper to you, right? They don't want anybody else to find out about it, right? Or before telling you something, they look here and there to make sure nobody else is, you know, there who can hear them. So when someone is trying to share some private information with you, then that information is what? It is a responsibility with you. It's a trust with you that you cannot disclose to other people, right? And then amana can also be a task that is given to you, all right, so that you fulfill it, you carry it out properly. And this is a responsibility, basically, that is given to you so that you fulfill it, right? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 58, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you that you return the trusts to their rightful owners. This means that when someone lends you something, all right, then you return it to them. If someone deposits their property with you for safekeeping, you hand it over to them, right? When someone gives you a responsibility, then you fulfill it, right? And it also means that when you have to give a responsibility to someone, then give it to those who are worthy of those responsibilities. Like, for example, if you're going to give money to someone to buy groceries with, right? You don't give it to your 13-year-old, right? Who's just going to go to the restaurant and, you know, buy maybe two meals and then bring those, right? Because the child doesn't know that he doesn't understand the value of money necessarily. So he's not going to make the best decisions, right? So when you give a responsibility to someone, you don't give it on the basis of friendship, on the basis of, you know, love for someone, right? Or what you can get out of them in return. No, you give it on the basis of their capability, on the basis of their worthiness. So when an amanah is given to us, we should fulfill it. And when we have to give an amanah to someone, then we should make sure that we're giving it to those who are worthy of it, those who will actually fulfill it. Otherwise, what's going to happen? Property is going to be damaged, right? People are going to be harmed, right? There's a lot that's going to be neglected and wasted. So be careful about the matter of responsibilities and different tasks that you give them to those who are worthy of them. Now, when it comes to amana, responsibilities or trusts that are given to us, amana, trust is in ibadat, in acts of worship. It is also in mu'amalat, in our dealings with people, all right? It can be in specific cases when you're dealing with, you know, certain individuals. It can also be in more general cases, right? It can be when you're dealing with a Muslim. It can also be when you're dealing with a non-Muslim. It is needed when you're dealing with a friend and also when you're dealing with an enemy, with an adult or a child, with a person who is wealthy or a person who is poor. So amanah is required in all of our dealings. And Imam al-Razi mentions that a person is in one of, you know, three types of mu'amalat, three types of dealings, all right? You are either dealing with your Lord, or you are dealing with people, or you are dealing with yourself, right? When it comes to your mu'amalat, your dealings with your Lord, this is in matters of worship. So fulfill your responsibility, fulfill the trust that your Lord has put on you in matters of worship, which is why the Sahaba said that amana is in everything. Amana is in wudu, all right? Amana is in salah, amana is in zakat, amana is in the ghusl of janaba, amana is in sawm, in fasting. It is in every religious matter. What does that mean? That means that when you're making wudu, make it properly. Don't cheat over there, right? Don't fall short in your responsibility over there. When you have to wash your arms, make sure that you're washing the elbows as well properly, right? You're washing your face. Don't just dab gently so that your makeup doesn't get ruined. No, you got to wash, right? I'm sorry that mascara is going to come off. I'm sorry that blush is going to get ruined, but amanah is that you wash that face properly, right? Amanah is in everything, especially when you're dealing with your Lord. And this is something that we're going to be asked about, right? And then when you're dealing with people, this is, again, in your dealings with them. Like, for example, you are borrowing, you are buying, you are selling, you are measuring, you are weighing. In all the matters, when you're dealing with people, and also with yourself, amanah with yourself is that you don't betray yourself. You know, your heart tells you that this is wrong, this is unethical, this is not sincere, this is not correct. So amanah is that you are sincere to yourself and that you don't put yourself in harm's way by presenting yourself for punishment. So amanah is in everything, right? And amanah is in all of our dealings. Now, when it comes to fulfilling amanah, fulfilling the trusts that are laid on us, in the Quran, we see the prophets of Allah are described as Rasulun Amin, right? So many prophets of Allah, when they went to their people, they said, Inni lakum Rasulun Amin. I am to you a messenger who is Amin, who is trustworthy, meaning I am conveying to you everything that has been given to me. I'm not making anything up. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not watering down any message. No, Rasulun Amin, trustworthy, right? Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel who was given the responsibility to convey wahi, revelation to the messengers of Allah. Jibreel is described as Amin, trustworthy, in two places in the Quran. All right? Muta'in, thumma Amin. Nazala bihi ruhul Amin. And the believers who are successful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Those who are attentive towards their responsibilities, their trusts, and also their promises. And we know in hadith that it is a sign of a hypocrite, right? That when a trust is given to him, he betrays, right? He betrays. So for example, he would pray without wudu, right? Or when he is trusted with some information that he's not supposed to disclose to other people, he will disclose it. This is a sign of who? A hypocrite. And we see in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us from the opposite of amanah. The opposite of amanah is khiyana, to be treacherous, to betray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 27, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ. All you who have believed, do not betray Allah. وَالرَّسُولُ, do not even betray the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ, and do not even betray the trusts that are among yourselves. Meaning, this is contrary to iman, that a person betrays the trusts that are laid on them, that are given to them. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 107, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ خَوَّانًا أَثِيمًا. Allah does not like the one who is khawwan, extremely treacherous. Does this mean that if someone is not extremely treacherous, all right, betrays just a few times, then that's okay? No. The thing is that if a person betrays in one matter, then what's going to happen? They're going to betray in another matter, and in another matter, and in another matter. Right? Someone who can deceive a child will deceive an adult, will deceive a friend, will deceive a stranger. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like such people. And the second second characteristic that is mentioned right after khawan is athim. Athim is someone who is very sinful, because that's what a betrayal leads to, sin on sin on sin on sin. Then in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 38, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ خَوَّانٍ كَفُورٍ. Allah does not like every person who is khawan, extremely treacherous, someone who betrays a lot. In Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 58, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ. Allah does not like those people who betray, who break their trusts. So we see that three times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that He does not like people who betray, who are insincere, who are hypocritical, who don't fulfill the trusts that are given to them, who betray other people, who, when they're trusted with some information or with some property, they don't give its right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all forms of khiyana. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are sincere, who fulfill their responsibilities and their trusts. Allahumma ameen. All right, let's listen from you, and let's try to keep the reflections exactly like yesterday, mashallah, to the point, clear, precise, and within 30 seconds, less than 30 seconds, inshallah. All right. Go ahead.
Let's see. Okay, let's go in order, inshallah, of those who have their hands raised, so that we can be kind of in line. So Laiba Rabbani, I see that you're first, inshallah. Please go ahead and mute yourself.
Inshallah.
There was this thing we learned today, was we get late with entrusting Allah Ta'ala with our affairs, right? And when we fail, only then we return to Allah Ta'ala and be like, okay, now I trust you. So I think so from now onwards, inshallah, what I will try to do is, first I will trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hand him over my affairs, and then do my best rather than doing the opposite. So yeah,
good. And then trust him. Excellent. And then trust him throughout the journey, right?
Awesome sauce. Next in line, we have Aisha Gomda. Go right ahead, Aisha.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah for the opportunity to be here. What I want to share is that a personal experience about my journey as a Muslim. One ayah in the Quran that really helps me a lot is Surah Tawbah, ayah number 51. That says that nothing will befall us except what Allah has decreed for us. And it is one thing that really helps me to have tawakkul in Allah and to believe that it may not be clear to me, but Alhamdulillah, Allah knows best and He would lead me ultimately to what He has destined for me and not maybe what I wish for myself. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakumullah khairan.
Biki and Leela, you are next, inshallah. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. I just want to share that from a very young age, I was trusted with so many responsibilities. Like at the age of even 13, money, and even my father passed away, even the property details that had to do with the law. And oh my God, the responsibility came with so much anxiety. And I wasn't familiar with these things, like knowing the names of Allah, learning all these things. But now I feel I should have started from there. So my reflection is that from now, this journey onwards, this Ramadan onwards, I'm learning the 99 names of Allah, and it's helpful. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakumullah khair. The next person I have is Samira from Toronto. Go right ahead, Samira.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I did come a little bit late, so I'm sorry if you did cover this. The point about the mana really reminds me of Surah Mutaffifin, where it covers, you know, those who take little without thinking that they'll get caught, like measuring rice. And that reminds me when we come into work, when we waste time, when we come late, when we're dishonest. And there's this really scary hadith that Prophet ﷺ says, those who treat are not one of us, so we have to be very careful. And since the signs of the end of time, trustworthiness is hard to come by, so we have to make sure we are among those who have those traits. And if we want to have good da'wah, we really need to have trustworthiness. And we need to show that we people can trust us with amana. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa
barakatuh. Oh, mashallah.
Excellent. Mashallah.
The next person I have is Thamia. Go right ahead, Thamia.
Assalamu alaikum. So, like, I feel like trust in Islam, tawakkul, is like fundamental concept that emphasizes relying on trusting in Allah, and it analyzes having faith that Allah will provide and protect us regarding all circumstances. And you know, sometimes you learn to trust Allah's plan the hard way and timing and taking necessary actions. That's all. Thank you.
Allah. The next person we have in line is Awa, AWA. Go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. The reflection that I have for today is that in order to truly trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to learn His traits and His attributes. And one of those ways is through learning His 99 names. So I thought that was really a good takeaway that I got from that.
Awa, that seems to be a trend, mashallah, that a lot of people have taken away, alhamdulillah. The next person I have in line is Aisha from the UK. Go right ahead, Aisha.
Assalamu alaikum. Sorry, it's not a reflection, it's a quick question. How do you deal with people who
Aisha, just to keep it on, like to keep it in the flow, inshallah, we won't take questions for today, but you can put it, the question, into the Q&A form for the fatwa night, inshallah, and if it's relevant at that time, we'll take it. But jazakumullah khair. The next person I have in line is Ragad, but not Ragad with the G-H-E-D. It's R-A-J-A-D. R-E-R-A-J-G-A-D. Bismillah. Go ahead, Ragad.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Yeah, it's Ragad, but it's just spelled differently. I just wanted to say I was speaking to a sister at work a couple of weeks ago. I work in the healthcare in the NHS in the UK, and she said something that really stuck with me in the fact that even something as simple as when you're at work, if you like want to leave work early, to just be bit like have in the back of your mind that this is a trust from Allah. Like, we are putting our time into our work for the sake of Allah, and especially for something like the healthcare system where like there's patients' lives on the line, or anywhere else even, just to be wary that if you leave early for like no reason, this is an amana. And especially with what you said, Ustaza, about even your like actions, this is an amana that you're going to get asked on the day of judgment. And that's just something that it's been with me since that conversation so many weeks ago. Assalamu alaikum.
Very relatable. Next person we have in line is Sister Bilkis. Go right ahead, Bilkis.
When we talk about trust, I learned that it is not only with people, that I have to remember that it applies, that when we say amana, when we say trust, it applies to acts of worship as well. So I have a duty, I have an amana, that I have to do my best. I have to do it properly. I have to seek knowledge and make sure it's done properly. My time, my cup, camel, and put my trust in Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. You know, it's interesting, the hadith that Sheikh Dawood shared with us earlier, that ihfadillaha yahfadka, right? You, when you are dutiful to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also protect you. So you have to fulfill your responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill His responsibility, which is to guide you, to reward you, to protect you, and so on and so forth.
Beautiful. The next person we have is Solange, inshallah. Go ahead, Solange.
Is the sound okay? I'm on the computer this time.
Yes, it's great. Yeah.
Okay. So it's frustrating when people don't carry out the trusts and you're trying your best. But at the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, Allah gives instructions for returning the wealth of orphans when they're mature enough. And He finishes the ayah with وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Allah is sufficient as the one who's keeping track of everything. And then in Surah An-Nisa, again, Allah tells us about how we're supposed to return the greeting when somebody greets us. And sometimes you say, Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah, in a kind way, and the person is like, alaykum salam. Or they don't even respond. And that's trust. Mm-hmm. And Allah finishes that ayah with, Inna Allaha kana ala kulli shay'in hasiba. So Allah's keeping track of everything. So even if people don't give you your rights, even if the things in this world don't work out, Allah is watching everything and He's perfectly detailed, and you don't have to worry. Everything is being watched and taken care of.
Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khairan for sharing that.
I mean, what, yeah.
Jazakallah khair. The next person we have in line is Razan Tahir. Go right ahead, Razan. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My reflection is, trust in Allah is the key to success in this world and the next. Jazakallahu khair.
Barakallah feek. Great to hear your voice, Razan. The next person we have in line is Jannat Zayed from New York. Go right ahead, Jannat.
Assalamu alaikum. I believe our life itself is an amana give as Muslims, our time and everything, so that we can live up to be good Muslims and work towards our akhirah. So that's what I believe in when it comes to the trust by Allah for us.
Amazing. Jazakumullah khair, Jannat. The next person I have is the other Raghad, OG Raghad from Florida. Go ahead, Raghad.
I was inspired by the other Raghad. So I, like when Sheikh Dawood spoke about, like, when you walk, you don't know if you'll fall and get paralyzed. I actually went through that 3 years ago, that I had to have, and right before Ramadan, I had to have an emergency surgery right after Ramadan. I found out that some of my back bones was, like, it was disintegrated. So I had to have an emergency surgery. And if I didn't have it, I would get paralyzed if I fell, literally. So subhanAllah, I had to put complete trust in Allah to go through that Ramadan, and very carefully, literally, I was like walking on eggshells. If a car bumped me, I could get paralyzed. If anybody bumped me and I fell, I could get paralyzed. So subhanAllah, like that analogy he used hit close to home, because I never felt that reliance on Allah like I did then, subhanAllah. So you never know when you're going to go through something like that.
Allahu Akbar.
May Allah protect you and keep you in good health. Ameen. The next person I have in line is Afifa Darabuddin. Sorry for butchering your name. Go ahead, Afifa. Bismillah.
Yes. Afifa, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to everyone. Alhamdulillah. I was thinking about Surah Mutaffifin. And in Surah Mutaffifin, it talks about being a very small amount of doing wrong, like a small amount of stealing. Mm-hmm. And it's a very small amount. And it's amazing because you could do this very easily and people might not see it. People don't see it, but Allah does see it. Allah sees it.
Allahu Akbar.
MashaAllah, amazing. Afifa, jazakumullah khair. The next we have is Aisha back with us, inshallah. Aisha, go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. Just to add to what the sister said about her health, I was going to say something else, but she just reminded me of something. I was having a conversation with my cousin years ago, and I've been went through a lot with my health. And I always had trust in Allah before and during and after. But during when I was tested, I kept on trusting Allah because I didn't know where I was going. I thought, you know what, I have to throw it out, like you throw something into the sea and just see where it comes back to. And she said to me that the smallest thing that I went through with my health, she would have unalived herself. It was that intense, just hearing it, let alone going through it. And how did I do it? And I still have that question in my mind, like, how did I get through it? And then I realized I just let go, because with me letting go with other people, I just couldn't let go in terms of like for them to help me, because they had limited capabilities. I couldn't trust them as fully. And just leaving it to Allah, Allah showed ways, Allah opened things that I could never imagine, where I couldn't even imagine where Allah helped me through certain things. So just having that trust, and Allah, when you mentioned that Allah will provide back to you when you have trust in Allah, showed time and time again in Allah, and he made me happy that that's one of Allah's guarantees that Allah showed me in my life. I'm so happy for that.
JazakAllah khair.
Let's one more comment, yeah. Inshallah. Then
awesome sauce. I was going to say we're at the clock, so we'll take the last comment from Shukri from New York. Shukri, go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you again for another wonderful session. As we were talking about kind of anxiety from the session from right before with the Sheikh, he had mentioned anxiety is sometimes linked to not having tawakkul ala Allah. It made me think about the book Don't Be Sad by Dr. Al-Kharni. I don't know if people are familiar with it. And there's a story in there that relates to tawakkul, where he says, a pious person fed the best and finest of food to a blind man, and his family said to him, this blind man does not know what he's eating, so give him something of lower quality. And he replied, but Allah knows. And since Allah knows your deeds and knows of all the good that you do and the help that you give to others, remain carefree and untroubled about what people think. And so this really reminded me of that, and the importance of having tawakkul ala Allah, because he is all-knowing at all times.
Jazakallah khairan for sharing.
Thank you so much. SubhanAllah. Wow. That was a whoosh. That was such a quick reflection session. MashaAllah. JazakAllah
khair. So many great reflections. Barakallah feekum.
Wafiki JazakAllah khair sada for leading us through that and for giving us so much to reflect on. And to all of you, man, you guys are on a roll. There's only a couple of people who didn't get a chance to speak today, but inshallah, please have your hands up earlier tomorrow. We look forward to continuing this journey with you all, but so, so proud of you. To be honest, I can't be that one reflecting. I feel like my words get jumbled up and I forget what I was going to say, and whatever was in my mind doesn't come out the way that it was supposed to come out. So you guys are mashallah pros at it. And I hope that you're inspiring others, mashallah, as well in the chat, who are like, not there yet. I don't know if I can take the mic, but they're benefiting from your gems and your personalizations of the lessons that we're experiencing. Alhamdulillah. Reminder, of course, we're continuing our Ramadan 360 tomorrow, but we also have the second day of our 10-day Quran challenge. So head over to QuranRevolution.com/challenge to register. If you're in the Ramadan 360 crew already, you're already registered, then it will just be in your student portal under the virtual courses. Instead of clicking on Ramadan 360, you just click on the right-hand side to 10-day challenge. Tomorrow is one of my favorite Al-Maghrib speakers, Sister Sara Sultan, who's a registered licensed professional counselor and mental health counselor, is going to be with us, inshallah, on the topic of conviction. She honestly took me through all of COVID with her reminders, and you probably benefited from her for our Islamic mental health course and so many other things throughout the years. So definitely don't miss her session live, inshallah, tomorrow, same time, same place, inshallah. And of course, I made all the plugs and all the reminders and the announcements earlier today, so I won't repeat too much of them, but I will just remind you one more time to please make sure that you are, supporting the amazing organizations that have been keeping Ramadan 360 going, which is HHRD in the US, Forgotten Women in the UK, and Islamic Relief in Canada. Inshallah, their links will be shared in your emails and throughout today's and the rest of the programming, inshallah. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and we will see you guys tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.